happens to you, I want to acknowledge my friend with me tonight, Pastor Daryl Yarborough, a great friend of mine, and preaches in our church sometimes, and he's just out traveling and ministering and going to be going back into pastorate soon, but over here with me tonight, I'm just grateful for that. And I say my friend Rufus, why not? Come here, Rufus, I'm telling you. Long time no see. Yeah, I'm surprised to see you back in the States.
Last night.
Oh, this is your last night back here?
No, I got back in.
Oh,
last
you got night. Last night.
I was just off the airport, and I went home, and now I'm back.
Yeah, I just dropped you off at the airport in Dallas, and I said goodbye to you, and here I am saying hello. Well, you know, this man is absolutely an incredible individual, and I just admire the work that they've done in Romania. I'm telling you, it has just been extraordinary. I've been with him three times in Romania, and we've been twice in Moldova. He set up, you set up actually all five of those meetings and made it possible so we go and rent some places, buildings, big buildings and whatever, and get pastors together and people, and we just have some Holy Ghost times, don't we, Rufus?
Amen. Knocking them alive.
Knocking them alive. Well, I know. I don't know.
Sometimes
I knocked them.
Sometimes I just want to knock them.
Well, sometimes I give them heaven, you know. You know, some people say give them something else, but I give them heaven, you know. And so, but seeing Rufus here tonight, when I walked in and saw him here tonight, he had sent me a little message and said he had seen me tonight. And I forgot that he was coming back so soon, but I just want you to know that what they do in Romania, the work they do in Romania, is so valid. Some of you don't know, you just see him here, but I've been there three different times, and their work is incredible of what they do. And the times that he has served us in our ministry and our team when we've come to Romania, and we're right now working on
Ukraine.
What's the name of that city? Do you remember?
Yes.
You do?
Odessa.
Odessa. I know it's on the coast. It's on the coast in Ukraine. And so Rufus is going to be flying there for us real soon and be looking into us doing a conference there this year in the Ukraine. So I just want to recognize you publicly before the internet. I'm sure we got some of our friends that's joining us. I did let a few of our friends know that we would be here tonight, and some of them gave them a link to get on. And so if you're there and you're viewing tonight, be blessed wherever you are, wherever you're viewing from. But anyway, Rufus, bless you much. Give Rufus a great big hallelujah. Amen. Our friend Tom Autry, as a part of this church, was with us last night in Dallas on our internet broadcast. He was worshiping and just ministering, and we had several hundred people on the internet with us, and I'm telling you, he just got carried away in the anointing. I got carried away in the anointing, and it's amazing. It's amazing, Tom, of all of the testimonies that have come in today from people that have been sending emails and saying how they got touched and blessed last night. And we have just a room, and we just do a broadcast there live every Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. And I never know what's going to happen. I just go in faith, believe in God. I have plans, but usually the plans I have is not usually what happens. And Tom had rehearsed and planned a bunch of songs yesterday, but when he got there last night, the Holy Ghost started moving in a different direction, so he didn't sing any of the songs he had planned. He sang the songs that God had planned. And I think that's what we need to do. Amen? And many of our churches today, and I don't say it critically, it's just a fact, many of our churches today go by the plan, and they don't have any time to stop and just wait on the Lord. And usually our broadcast is usually just an hour real close. But last night, we extended it about 30 minutes longer than normal because so many people were getting blessed. And I have a little thing there. I can see different people talking, and they're talking back and forth. And some of them said, I can hardly type in here because I'm crying, I'm weeping, I'm so touched by God. And so That's what I want to see tonight here. I want to see you touched by the Lord. Amen. Well, I want to talk about, as a believer, how I believe it's important that our life is to be flourishing. I want to talk about flourishing in the house of the Lord. The word flourishing means to grow vigorously. It means to thrive. It means to be prosperous. Now, when we use the word prosperous, we don't necessarily need to put that word with money, but we don't have to take it away from money either. So when we use the word prosperous, I'm not ashamed of that word. I don't apologize for that word. But I believe as Christians, people of God, God wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to stay at the same place we were when we come into the kingdom of God. But he wants us to grow stronger in our trust. He wants us to be faithful to him. He's faithful to us. Everybody say, God's faithful to me. So when you think about that God is faithful to you, no matter what you say or what you do, God's faithful to you. And I believe that if we're faithful to God, I believe God will do what his word says he will do. How many of you believe that? Now, let me just back up here a little bit and just think about heaven for a minute. How are things in heaven? How do you think things are in heaven? Do you think there's dysfunction in heaven? You know, so life today is dysfunctional. Very, very few, I guess we could say very few functional families in the world anymore, even among Christian people, and that's sad that you see so many Christians that's living dysfunctional lives. They're not thriving, they're not flourishing, they're not prosperous because they're so heavy with burdens. They've accepted Jesus as their Savior and their Lord, and they're going to heaven, but they're still carrying too many loads. They're still carrying too many weights. And the Bible says, lay aside every weight and every sin that would so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. And many people, even including myself, there have been times that I've allowed the cares of the life around me to get heavy on my shoulders. And I have been overcome by the care, the emotion, the sorrow, and the pain, and haven't probably trusted God as much as I should and could. But every day I strive to be better at thriving and being prosperous. And again, when I say prosperous, I mean holding my head up, walking in faith, not living in fear, not allowing myself to doubt the word of God just because I don't see a prayer answered when I snap my finger, just because it doesn't come to pass when I would like it to come to pass. I don't lose my faith in God, but I keep my faith in his word. And that's one of the processes of growing. When you're growing in God and when you're prosperous in faith, when you're prospering and you're moving forward, even though you don't see everything that you want to see come to pass, your faith is still in God and you're standing strong, and so therefore you begin to flourish. Now, let me go back. How are things in heaven? Things are good in heaven. I think there's an organization in heaven that way beyond what we could imagine. You know, Charlie Pryor, you know, he's been here for a long time, and I was sharing on my way over here with Pastor Darrell Yarbrough about his ability, and he's a great organizer. He's a great detail person, probably one of the most detailed person I've ever been around. And you know, when I see Charlie Pryor, you know, he's got his pad, and it makes no difference what you say, he's going to write it down. And I've, over the years, I've been in a lot of meetings where Pastor Bob and Charlie and I have been, and I've watched, and Charlie comes back, and he's got record of everything we did. I mean, it's just all there. He's organized. Well, I look at Charlie Pryor, and I think about how organized he is. Well, heaven is organized. Heaven has order. Everybody say, heaven has order. So God wants us to have order in our life. Anybody in this room? See, God wants us to have order in our life. And one of the things that I found that order in my life has helped me to flourish. It's helped me to prosper. It's helped me to grow. People that don't have order, they get discouraged. They get beat up by life. All kinds of things happen because there's no order in their life. But I get up in the morning. When I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is go to Jesus. I go to God. I begin to worship God. I begin to magnify the Lord. I read the Word. I spend maybe 45. You say, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to do that. No, I don't do that part because I'm a pastor. See, I don't spend time in prayer, and I don't spend time reading and just having fellowship with God. I don't do that because I'm a minister of the gospel. It's got nothing to do with me being a minister. Somebody said, well, you're supposed to do that. No, it's not anything what I'm supposed to do. It's what I want to do. George Mueller said, I get my soul happy. Well, that's what I do in the morning. I get up and I get my soul happy. You say, well, I can't do that. I go to work so early. We'll do it at night. Somebody said, well, after I come in, I'm so tired and I'm stressed out. I don't feel like it. Well, you know, I'm not telling you got to do it like I got to do it, but you've got to find order, even if it's 10 minutes. Even if it's 10 minutes of time, just you and the Lord, just nobody else interfering, and you're not looking at Facebook and talking to God at the same time. Come on. Or Instagram or Twitter, or there's so many out there now, I don't even know which, Periscope and all the different ones that, you know, give God time without the media, without the social media. And you know what, people that tell me they don't have time to spend with the Lord, you can look on Facebook and see they can spend plenty of time on Facebook. If they'd fast a little bit of Facebook time, they could have some time with the Lord. Amen? Now, I do Facebook, so I'm not complaining or finding fault with Facebook. I'm not finding fault or saying don't go there and don't do that. It's part of our society today. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing what's happened in our world? But what I'm saying is people can go there. They can do all kinds of things there and talk to people and like and comment. But when it comes to spending time with the Lord, sometimes I just don't feel like it. I just don't have time. But see, spending time with the Lord is more important to me than anything else in the world. I love to preach, and I've been preaching for over 50 years. But to me, spending time with the Lord is the most precious thing that I have in my whole life. Everybody say, spending time with the Lord. These young men that came up here just a few minutes ago and dedicated their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, what an awesome thing that was for them to walk out and to say, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. Well, you know, when we make Jesus Lord of our life, that doesn't mean we fit him in when it's convenient. See, many people, you look at their social calendar and they're so busy with their work and their social calendar. When it comes time to spending with God, maybe once a week, maybe once ever, maybe two times a month. You know, it's just different. But I'm telling you, it's time we get order in our life. And so when I get up in the morning, one of the things that I do, God is first in my life when I get up in the morning. I spend time with him. Everybody say, I want to spend time with God. See, you will never flourish in the house of the Lord until you learn to put him first in your life. See, that's order. That's where order begins. God, you're first in my life. I'm going to give you the first part of my day. I'm going to give you the first part of my day. You say, well, I go to work at 4 o'clock. I go to work at 3 o'clock. Well, get up just 10 minutes early. So you can give God the first part of your time. So that you can get your soul happy. So when you walk out the door and all of the things that's coming, you don't have to be bombarded and not knowing what to do. But you can have the Holy Ghost fire inside of you. Jeremiah said it was like fire shut up in my bones. I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I had to prophesy. Well, you see, if you got the word of the Lord in your heart because you spent some time with him, when something goes wrong, instead of you being overcome by emotion, instead of you being overcome by fear, the word of God will come out of your mouth and you'll consume whatever's coming against you instead of it consuming you. Is anybody in the house tonight? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. What do you think about heaven right now? The Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father God. They're not wondering what to do. They're not nervous. They're not anxious. But as I said, there's order in heaven and everything is good. And God doesn't say, well, maybe we ought to have a meeting with the angels. I wonder if that'd be helpful. No, there's order. The angels are worshiping. There's everything in order. God wants us to get up in the daytime and he wants us to commit our lives to him. You know, commit your life to the Lord. Roll your cares. 1 Peter 5:8. Cast your care on him, for he cares for you. So in the morning, instead of getting up and taking on life and the heaviness of life, and you know, if you've ever heard me preach, you've heard me use the word unscheduled events. We all have unscheduled events. Amen? So when these unscheduled events come, if we got order in our life, instead of us being taken so far down that we don't know what to do, we can just stand in faith and say, thank you, Jesus, because you are my answer. You are my way. You are my rock. You are my sword. You are my shield. You're my everything, and I'm going to stand. Is anybody here tonight? See, God's a God of peace. He's a God of love. He's a God of contentment. And I see many Christians today that haven't found these elements of life through Jesus Christ, of that walking in peace. The devil doesn't want you to have peace. He doesn't want you to have joy. You know, I get phone calls and emails all the time because of people telling me their situations. Last night I was getting people just talking to me, and this one had cancer and this one had that. Then I had another friend that I've known for years call me and said, Pastor, I need you to pray. I'm taking chemo. I'm taking radiation. And I want to live. I want to do work for God. Satan is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, just hold on with me because I'm going to end this up good. We're going to end good. I'm just trying to take you someplace. I'm trying to identify with reality. And you know, when we come to Christ, we give our life to Jesus, that's just the beginning. Yes. Young men, this is the beginning when you give your life to God. See, I see many people that think when they walk through the door and they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord, that, man, I've made it. No, you've just begun. You've just entered into a race. And it didn't stop the devil from being the devil because you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and the Lord. And he's even going to be after you even more now that you made a decision to serve God. He's going to come and throw things in your face and try to divide. He's going to try to pull you apart and do anything he can do to keep you from becoming what I'm talking about here tonight. Are you listening? See, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. But he that's within the world is always trying to get you to look at him and all the things that's going around you and getting you to live in emotion rather than live in faith. God wants us to live in faith rather than by emotion. And so many Christians today are living by the emotion rather than living by faith. I didn't say I didn't have emotions and you didn't have emotions. We all have emotions. We're emotional beings, but we can't be governed by our emotions if we're going to walk in faith. And when I think about heaven, and then when I read God's word, and he said, pray that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if God's will is being accomplished in heaven and things is in order and things are good there, then that means things should be good here. Now that doesn't mean, as I just said, that Satan is removed from the earth. I didn't say that. But inside, we're to have the peace of God to come in, the anointing to come in, the word of God's in our heart, it's in our mouth. And we begin to stand on that rock. And when we stand on that rock, you know, there may be times that we might tremble a little bit standing on the rock, but the rock never moves. Amen. That rock never moves when we're standing on the rock. We may get a little weary and we may get a little bit shaky, but greater is he, as I said just a few minutes ago, that's within us than he that's within the world. If God be for us, then who can be against us? No weapon that's formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment we shall condemn, because it's our heritage as servants of the Lord. So my friends, we either believe the word or we don't believe the word. It's time to stand on the word and be doers of the word. People say, but Pastor Don, you don't know how I feel. You don't know what I'm going through. I may not, but everything you are going through, Jesus took it all to the cross. Everything that you could go through, Jesus took to the cross. Now let me just give you a little bit more information here, and then I'll try to get into the part that I need to. We're in a world of division, strife, confusion. And it's not just the United States, it's the world. Morality has never been in a frame the way it is today. Morality today, even in the church, morality is at such a low place in the world. And it's sad to say that many things that happen in the world, the same things happen equally in the church. So to me, we're not flourishing the way God wants us to flourish, the way God has designed for us to be. And that's why I'm talking about this tonight. I want to encourage you not to let the world and the things of the world be greater to you than the goodness of God. You know, many people start out in life and they don't have a good start. They didn't have a good father. They didn't have a mother. They may have had a broken home. You know, I was privileged to have a good dad, a good mom. I didn't have a broken home. But you know what? I see many that don't have that. And I know an individual that's struggling right now. They didn't have a good start. They didn't have good upbringing. But they gave their life to Jesus. But yet they let the struggles of what they went through in their earlier years, they're still letting the struggles of what they didn't have hold them back and use as an excuse. And instead of cutting the cords and cutting the ties and saying, Lord, I know I didn't have a father, I didn't have a mother, but Jesus, you be my father. Father God, you be my Lord, you be my everything. You say, well, that's easy for you to say because you didn't go through that. It is easy for me to say, but I'm saying one thing. God is no respecter of persons, and no if you didn't have the good start. Look at Joyce Meyer. Sexually abused by her father for years. She had no self-worth. Gave her life to Christ. And she tells about her struggles. How she struggled, but she kept moving forward. She kept moving forward. She kept moving forward. So she had a hard time her first few years. But one day she decided, I'm going to let my past go. Even though all the bad things that my dad did to me, that's not who I am. I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm telling you one thing. I stand here on that rock telling you that no matter what you had in your past, no matter what has gone wrong in your life, no matter who has hurt you, no matter who has spoken bad things or said you will never amount to anything, decide to believe what God says about you rather than what's happened in your life or what someone has said. God's word will never fail, and you don't have to fail if you'll do what His Word says. You see, that's what Joyce Meyer decided. She said, I'm going to believe God. She forgave her dad. She forgave her dad. Her life changed. And now, one of the largest television ministries in the world. And I'll never forget, years ago, I was privileged and honored in a little church in St. Louis, Missouri, when she and her husband walked down the aisle of where I finished speaking that night. And she said, I'm called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I just looked at her, thinking, well, I am too. But she began to talk to me and tell me, and she said, I want you to lay hands on me, and I want you to pray for me. I want you to ask God to anoint me the way you're anointed, to pray for the sick and lay hands on people. And Dave was standing beside her, very high, tall man, supporting her, standing beside her. Later, Dave became the head usher in that church. I would go there and speak as the church began to grow. She began to do Bible study in the church, and her women's Bible study started with small amounts, but it got up to 400 and 500 on a Thursday. As I watched her grow in the Lord, now the ministry, it's phenomenal of what they're doing. Now, I'm not using a name other than for the reason to tell you, no matter how you've hurt, no matter what's been done, whatever God's plan for you, if you'll believe God's word more than you believe and allow the pain of the past to control you, God will take you to your destiny, whatever it is. Amen. Now let me read a scripture to you here in Psalms 92, verses 12 through 15. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. Psalms 92, 12 through 15. The uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Be long lived. Notice, long lived. Stately. Upright. Useful. Fruitful. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Majestic, stable, durable, incorruptible. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of God. Growing in grace, they shall bring forth fruit in their old age. I kind of like that verse. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap, of spiritual vitality. Rich in the virtue of trust, love, and contentment. They are living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to His promise. He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in Him. I could probably spend 2 weeks just preaching from these verses of Scripture. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about the palm tree. The palm tree to me is a very beautiful tree. It's one of my favorites, and I like to be in the climate where palm trees grow. I really like to be, because they don't grow in Minnesota. They grow where the weather is warm. But a palm tree, you know, some palm trees are as high as 167 feet. And you know, they can grow sideways and then turn up. They can grow through all types of things when storms come. Normally, they don't get rooted up. Normally, they just bend when the storms come. And then after the storm leaves, they just stand back up. So when we look in the Bible and the Bible is comparing us to a palm tree, we need to look at the palm tree a little bit and see what it is. It says, talks about its sap. The sap of the palm tree is used, and most people don't even know that. The palm tree, the leaves of the palm tree are used for roofs, and sometimes the leaves, certain kinds of them are used to feed animals. The coconuts that come from some, dates come from others. The acai berry comes from others, types of palm trees. There's numbers of different species of palm trees. And the roots of the palm trees are even used. So everything in coconut oil, you could go on and on talking about the palm tree. And it says, it shall bear fruit in its old age. And we're compared to that palm tree. See, that palm tree, sometimes they'll bear coconuts for 70 and 80 years. So we need to look at this and begin to say, well, God said the palm tree was good and we shall flourish like the palm tree. In other words, the palm tree keeps producing. God wants you not to just survive through life as a Christian. He wants you to